Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about perks and benefits.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Just in general, how should you think about what you offer to potential employees in an early stage startup to be competitive or to attract the right kind of talent? And so here's the setup, right? We're talking about early stage startups. You're trying to hire, maybe you're less than 10 people. You try to hire your initial 10, 15 people on your team. And when you are negotiating with these potential hires, there's other companies that will compete for these people with you and make competitive offers. And the salary is obviously kind of the main focus. Salary and equity might be the main things that you are putting as an offer on the table that potential employee could compare. But then there's also benefits and perks. And the benefits and perks might be for, especially for kind of, you know, first-time founders and less experienced entrepreneurs, more difficult to navigate world of like, how much should I care about benefits and perks? How important are those? Is this kind of a luxury thing that I do once I've raised $20 million? Is it something I do once we're profitable? Is this something I never do? Like, how to think about that, I think might make sense to unpack this a little bit and give especially earlier stage founders a bunch of ways of thinking about creating perks and putting benefit packages together for their company and their teams. What are your thoughts and what are your experiences with that?
Yeah, people definitely struggle a lot with this. And the reason is they just don't know what to offer at what stage. And I think at the earliest stages, it's really tough to offer a lot. There's things like, you know, health insurance that many people require, most people require. There's even like, you know, you can bring people on contracts. So, you know, there's like whole like concept here for me, which is like the people are joining really early stage. They're taking a lot of risk. And so my experience has always been just do the best I can in terms of benefits until I can do better and then do better. And better means like the business is doing like is profitable or the business is making money or there's, you know, a significant amount of capital that we've raised or something like that. I actually think that like benefits grow in a business as the business becomes more successful. And that's my philosophy with it. And there's a lot of different ways that you can think about that. And I know that some companies like tout, you know, these various benefits and things like that. You know, it's like back in the day when Google was like very special, not that they're not special now, but they're definitely special as a earlier stage startup-y type company. They definitely offered a lot of perks in the sort of office. And they were known for that, whether it's free food in the cafeterias for any team member, anybody coming to visit, to like, you know, I've heard they do laundry over there. They have haircuts, they have massages, they have all these things that are free for you as a perk, as a benefit. And that used to be such a big thing. And now I would say that there's just a philosophy in general that it's like we're kind of getting tired of that. And one of the reasons is people would go to work at those places like Google because of that. Is that the reason you want people to work at your company? Is kind of the big question in my mind when we talk about the sort of extreme end of benefit. So again, there's basic benefits. Sometimes it's things like health insurance, etc. And then there's benefits that are more oriented around some of these extra perks that people sort of sometimes go overboard with and try to provide. And it's a recruitment tactic, but I think it's tried now and it's old and doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, when you hire somebody, you need to know, you know, at a given stage that you're in, why do you want people to want to join you, right? And if you're losing people because when you're making them an offer, they're telling you, well, you know, I like both companies, I like both offers, but they are offering me, I don't know, you know, 2 extra free haircuts a month and you don't have a barber at your office. So how could you, what can you add on your offer to match, you know, the free haircuts I'm getting over there? If it gets to that level of negotiation, you really have to wonder, do you want, and this is nothing against that person, but do you really want somebody that comes to you mainly because you pay them, you know, you're making an offer that has like $100 more worth in perks than the competing offer, right? If the main reason they're coming to you is because it's a few pennies more in perks or benefits, then the moment they're getting offered a few pennies more than what you are paying them or giving them in perks and benefits, they're going to leave again, right? These are kind of complete hired guns that are only looking for the highest possible offer and the most personal benefit they can abstract out of the current market value. And I would say, especially for early stage startup, but really at any point in any business that I will ever run, when we make offers to people, I often ask them, hey, you know, before I make an offer, if I give you a good and competitive offer, how are you going to decide between us and maybe some other companies that are at the table? Like, what's your decision-making matrix and how you arrive at what offer to pick? Because I want to understand, you know, how they make decisions and what they value and what their priorities are in life. And if somebody is like, you know, the salary is number one and number two are the perks, number three are the benefits, number four, you know, the days off and vacation days, and number five is, you know, whatever, then you don't even bother giving off because I know our values aren't aligned, right? I want somebody that cares about the same thing that anybody else in this company cares about mostly. That doesn't mean that I don't want to give great offers, but I don't want somebody that just optimizes for the numbers, doesn't really care about the business, the culture, the product, the people, just wants the most money. Because I also know that on that level, I can't really compete effectively. I cannot pay people more than any other business on this planet can pay them. And I don't want to, right? So I think that being aware of that makes a ton of sense. And to me, there's a difference, Heaton, between benefits that, I think both benefits and perks. I think when Google first started with the whole, like, you never have to leave our campus again, right? You could have your entire life transpire here. Part of that was like, we want to take great care of you. But part of that, I think later on was, I don't know, I think it started as like, wow, look at how awesome my employer is. And then it ended up with like, wow, my employer wants me to just work at all times and never leave work. They want me to work on the way to work, right? They give me this bus with free Wi-Fi and a desk so I can work and lots of coffee on the way to work. And then they want me to just stay at fucking work forever and never have an excuse. Oh, I need to go to the dentist. There's a dentist at the campus. Oh, I need to go work out. Well, there's a gym here. Oh, I need a haircut and laundry. Oh, I need to eat. I need to sleep. All the things you need to do, you just stay right here. Keep working. You can do them around the corner here. And so people kind of switched the way they felt about it from, wow, our company's so awesome, they want to treat us so well, to, wow, our company is really trying to squeeze every bit of life out of us and not have a life outside of work. So the sentiment has changed quite a bit. But I do think that thinking about what types of things do you want to reward and what kind of investments do you want to make in people, right? So when we think about benefits, like paying for good healthcare for people makes so much sense. I mean, it all depends on your company and the structure and the stage of it. But when you can afford it, for us, it's really important for our company to invest in amazing healthcare because we want our people to be, you know, healthy and taken care of when they don't feel well. Like, health is so important. So we want to make investments in the health of our people. 401k, right? We're very aggressive with that because we want people to be building up, you know, for their retirement. And we want people to be taking care of themselves financially and think long-term financially. And we want to invest in that and take good care of that them in that way. There's other perks, you know, when it comes to team retreats that we make, when it comes to co-working space. There's certain things that we do where we're like, this is an investment in our people that makes sense and that will benefit their health, their lives, their growth, and their work. So it makes sense on all levels for us as a business to offer these perks or offer these benefits and invest in our people in this way. But then there are perks that make no fucking sense, right? That are just like cool to have. Things that we could put in an offer or promote in a job posting that sounds sexy or cool or fun. But if you actually think about it, like, what is it really promoting? What is it really rewarding? How is this going to benefit the business long-term and this person long-term? There's really not much to it. And so I think it's important when you think about benefits and perks, A, to understand what is the stage that you're in and what can and cannot the business afford, right? When you're two co-founders and you're trying to hire your first employer, you're losing money and you put on your savings in there and it's a bootstrap business. Obviously, you won't be able to like give people amazing benefits and perks because the business cannot finance these things. So you need to be able to hire somebody that can take a lot more risk when it comes to their salary and these benefits and perks and get rewarded, maybe with equity, maybe with something else. Maybe it's the kind of experience or the ownership of the product or whatever they get, the exposure. But you're looking for a different type of person at that stage. You're not going to hire maybe somebody that is in their mid-50s, that has a large family, that has a mortgage, and that has financial pressures and needs a high salary and safety and security and all that. You'll have to attract different type of talent and offer them some different type of things. But as your business grows and as you hire more and more mature employees, and as you scale the business, you're probably going to start have to think more about the benefits